You're listening to the Crazy Uncle Phil Show, coming to you live from the 11205. Welcome to the Crazy Uncle Phil Show, coming to you live from the 11205, and I am your one and only Crazy Uncle Phil. You can catch the Crazy Uncle Phil Show at Podomatic.com. That's Podomatic.com. One more time, that's Podomatic.com. Mr. Nick is on vacation and will not be joining us tonight, so I am solo here in the studio. Tonight I will be revisiting Florida School to Prison Pipeline, a story I did a story on about 6 weeks ago, which has young children being charged with multiple felonies, some before the ages of 10 and 11. I will also be covering the white terrorist and criminal Trump, who is trying to get his lackey, the U.S. Attorney General William Barr, to change the law that says the president can't take money from foreign powers, a.k.a. the Emoluments Clause. I will also be talking about the white terrorist criminal Trump and Fox Fantasy News and their attempt to direct their racist, murderous attack dogs, a.k.a. Trump's base, to murder Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez by posting hateful rhetoric to Twitter and basically blaming Omar for 9/11. And as always, we will have our Best of Us segment at the end of the show. Right now, let's get to some music. Nod your head to this one, y'all. That was Imagine Dragons with Radioactive and Uprock Instrumental. All right, this week in the news, let's start with Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Senator Bernie Sanders talking about all of the billion-dollar corporations that made billions in profits and paid no federal taxes. That's right, people. You heard me. No federal taxes. Now, who were the culprits? Let's take a quick look at Congressman Senator Bernie Sanders' tweet. He said, "What do these corporations have in common? Amazon, Chevron, John Deere, Delta, Duke Energy, Eli Lilly, Gannett, General Motors, Goodyear, Honeywell, JetBlue, Kinder Morgan, MGM Resorts, Netflix, Prudential Financial, and Whirlpool." The answer? They all paid nothing in federal taxes. Not a dime. As a matter of fact, 60 corporations paid zero in federal taxes in 2018. And they all, and combined, those 60 corporations made $79 billion in profit. And to kick it off, they all received $4.3 billion in rebates. That's right. 60 corporations who made $79 billion and paid nothing in federal taxes got rebate checks from the government. Now, how does that happen? Well, I'll tell you how. It's called the Republican Party. And not Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is too dumb to do things like this. It is the Republican Party that backed Trump and allow him to do evil, racist, hateful things so they can get things like this. That's your answer. This is why they allow him to jail children and threaten congressmen and pretty much bring the country to almost a halt, where every institution is pretty much a ghost town or being systematically completely destroyed by the people that he put in charge. And this is why they do it. $79 billion in profits, $4.3 billion from the government welfare money, and zero in taxes. That's why they do it. So what are you going to do, America? Because you now see it's not about immigration or football players taking a knee. It's not about Muslims taking over the country. It's not about immigrants. It's not about poor Mexican children being thrown into prisons and taken away from their parents. It's about them ripping us off. Period. It's about them filling their pockets. Those numbers that I read to you, $79 billion in profits, $4.3 billion in rebates for 60 corporations, including companies like Amazon, Duke Energy, MGM Resorts, Netflix, Prudential, Whirlpool, all of those companies support Trump, and this is why. Money. They try to make you think it's about idealism and trying to save America and freedom and all this other bullshit. Bull. It's about money. So all you Trump supporters, all you fence riders out there, listen, if you're listening to my voice, yeah, you got duped. You got robbed. That money were you going to use for your vacation? Nope. The owner of Honeywell just spent it on his lunch. That money you were going to use to fix your water heater? Nope. The guy from Amazon just gave it to his daughter to go take her friends to a club. Yeah. They literally dug in your pocket and stole your money. All right? Now let's get back to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Now, the white terrorist in the White House, Donald Trump, has been on Twitter and on TV calling the first Muslim woman in Congress, well, one of the first, there's another one, in Congress, anti-Semitic and un-American. Fox Fantasy News, which is what I call it because they live in a fantasy world, had their race soldier, Sean Hannity, bring on a man named Bernard Kerik. Bernard Kerik is the former police commissioner of New York City who said that the congresswoman was infatuated with Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and Hezbollah. He has no proof at all of that. There is no proof of that because it is, in fact, a lie. Something made up to make this woman appear to be a terrorist. Now, if you notice, they're going hard after Ilhan Omar right after tax day. There are a lot of angry Americans right now who found out they're not getting anything back, and in fact, they owe money. And I'm sure it's money that they owe that they do not have to pay. So right now, there are millions of American taxpayers who are very angry, very upset, and very disappointed. So what does Trump and Fox News do? Hey, let's bring attention to the Muslim lady in Congress. Maybe they'll forget about it that they can't take their kids on vacation this summer. Maybe they'll forget about they don't have enough money to fix that water heater. Maybe they'll forget about they don't have enough money to send their daughter to that special school this summer or whatever to prepare for her baseball or whatever career. All right, maybe they just found out that, wow, I thought I was getting $5,000 back, but now I owe $4,000 that I don't have and have no idea how I'm going to get. That is why they're going after Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. It is a distraction, a deflection, which is what they are masters at. They say, hey, look over there and look at this person and look at that person while they got your hands in your pockets. It's the oldest trick in the book. Oldest trick in the book. They distract you and then they steal your wallet. There it is. Now, what I want to know is, when will one of these cowardly congressmen and companies like Twitter going to say enough is enough and take down anything? Like, you know, take down things like Trump's 9/11 tweet. I mean, it's a private company. They can do what they want. They can say, hey, this is across the line. You know, you can't put up violent, threatening tweets. But, of course, I'm sure Twitter is making a lot of money, too. They probably didn't pay any taxes either. And when are the Democrats going to get off their asses, grab a few police, go over to the IRS, and take the damn tax files? And if the treasurer gets in the way, arrest him for obstruction. It's that simple. There's a law. Enforce it. Stop sending letters. Stop making comments. And enforce the law just like you would do on anyone else. If I had a court order where they were supposed to come in and take my microwave or whatever, say it was a divorce settlement, guess what? My ex-wife would be right there with two police officers ready to get her microwave. And I would have no choice but to open the door and hand it to them. If I told them no, I just don't think she's smart enough to have the microwave, like his spokeswoman said, Kellyanne or whatever her name is. I'm sorry, Sandra or whatever her name is. She said that they're not smart enough to look through the 1,000 pages of his taxes. Okay, first of all, if I told the cop, I don't think my ex-wife is smart enough to work the microwave so she can't have it. Guess what? I'd be in handcuffs, probably have a couple of knots on my head, and she'd be on her way out the door with the microwave. This is no different. This is no different. They have the tax returns. Go and get them. The law is on your side. Grab a few men with guns. Go and grab it up. Say anybody touches a computer, anybody moves, they're going to jail for obstruction. Including the Treasury guy. All right, now back to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. What I also want to know is why, well, you know, I know why the Democrats many of the Democrats are not standing up for Ilhan Omar. Bernie Sanders stood up right away. Elizabeth Warren stood up right away. Most of the rest of them didn't say anything. And the ones who did say something were like very careful not to actually show that they have her back. You know, trying to ride that centrist line, which doesn't work. And they still have not learned that trying to be Republican light does not work. That is not what the public wants. The Republican Party and GOP has effectively become a four-letter word in America. When you hear GOP, when you hear Republican, all I think are Nazis and terrorists. people who steal children from their mother's arms. People who incite a mentally ill, no, I'm not going to say mentally ill people. I'm going to say evil terrorists to murder. All right, that's what it does. Now, tonight, a reporter gave Trump a chance to walk back his comments. But he doubled down, man. He just doubled down and said, yeah, she's a threat to America and all this other crap like that. Look, God forbid anything happens to this woman. Anything happens to her or any other of the congresswomen, men and women on Trump's supposed enemies list. Because he's going to be held responsible. Period. You know what scares Vladimir Putin the most? What scares him the most? What scares Vladimir Putin the most is the people rising up. Him looking out the Kremlin window one day and seeing a sea of people coming to get him. Because that has happened many a times in many a government. And don't think for one second it won't happen here if this goes too far. Where there will not be a couple of million people ready to bum rush the White House and physically drag him out. Because this is getting ridiculous. We have politicians in power right now who are afraid to do their jobs. And are allowing these white terrorists to bully them. And God bless Ilhan Omar, AOC. Guys, keep your head up. Be strong. History is on your side. And so is the public. You have millions who have your back right now. So I would not worry too much about those evil people that are saying evil things. Because we have your back 100%. All right. When we come back, our next story will be our feature story on the prison to pipeline. The school to prison pipeline in Florida. And you guys do not want to miss this. We will be back. You're listening to the Crazy Uncle Phil Show, coming to you live from the 11205. You're listening to the Crazy Uncle Phil Show, coming to you live from the 11205. All right, we are back, and that was Trippin' and Dope Spot, two badass instrumentals I dig very much. Now, we are going to our feature story, which starts off with a story about a school cop who body slammed an 11-year-old boy in Florida. They said the youngster is on a diversion program for aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, a felony. The child has to be escorted around school after sex allegations involving a female student. Now, the boy had been arrested by the school resource officer for aggravated assault 5 days prior. Now, apparently this boy has definitely has some behavioral problems. Now, the cop also arrested him in February after he initially resisted arrest for disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace following an incident where he disrupted a class he was not supposed to be in. During the incident, he slammed his own head into the wall. Now, they charged him with disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, all right, for disturbing a class. They have criminalized childish behavior in Florida. Now, I'm going to finish reading this to you. The child now faces charges of aggravated assault from a staff member who accuses the child of chest bumping him earlier on in the Tuesday incident. The police officer's boss said he had not been suspended and his actions were justified because the tween had been running around the school campus and not responding to any commands by the school staff. He explained in a press conference that the assistant principal had asked the deputy, who had 8 years of experience working at schools, to follow him after he stormed out of the dean's office while waiting for a parent to arrive and witness his suspension. Okay. I saw the video. If you go on YouTube, you can see the video. One, there is no excuse for him picking that boy up and slamming him the way he did. The boy was walking away from him. He obviously said something to him that he did not like, and he chased after him, picked him up, and slammed him on his head. The officer should be charged with assault of a child, period. But in Florida, that probably will not happen. All right, because this child is obviously mentally ill. He obviously has mental problems. But in Florida, if you are mentally ill or if you have behavioral problems in school, they are charging you. They have 3 felony charges on this boy, and he is 11 years old. See, the problem I have is the fact that Florida has set up their school system to punish children who are mentally ill or act out, in school as felons. The child is 11 years old and has been charged with 3 felonies. They are setting this boy up to be in prison for life before he's 16. If you are black and live in Florida, and if you're listening to my voice, if you have children, I implore you to move as fast as you can. If it is financially possible, you need to get your children out of Florida, because all they want to do with black children in Florida is put them in jail. Now, Florida has the largest school-to-private prison pipeline for black children in the nation. I have personally witnessed, and you can see this yourself online, they charged an autistic child with a felony for kicking a garbage can in school. I watched them handcuff a 6-year-old girl for not wanting to sit down in class and charge her with a felony for throwing a book at a teacher. A six-year-old child. Little girl, put handcuffs on her. I guess they were terrified, because, dark skin can kill. It's been proven to be lethal. It's ridiculous. They have criminalized child behavior in Florida, and surprise, surprise, it's mostly black and brown children who are charged in jail. This is a problem in many red states in this country. White terrorists and local governments are doing everything they can to eradicate people of color in this country, including marking our children for prison as soon as they step into one of their schools. What's the solution? What's the solution? Move out of Florida. If you can, get out of there. But in the meantime, calling a boycott for Disney World, Orlando, the Kennedy Space Center, Universal Studios, Miami Beach, SeaWorld. Stop giving them money because they hate you and they hate your children. Now I'm going to move on to the next story about a boys' school, Arthur G. Dozier School for Boys, which has in Florida, it was notorious for killings and beatings and everything else, and they just closed it. So now I'm going to read an article to you that was written by Vox this week. More than two dozen additional unmarked graves have been discovered on the grounds of a defunct boys' reform school in the Florida Panhandle that was notorious for beatings, abuse, forced labor, and neglect, according to a letter sent by the state's governor this week. The discovery of the former Arthur G. Dozier School for Boys came during pollution cleanup at the site last month, when a subcontractor found 27 anomalies, good Lord, in the ground consistent with possible graves. The latest development adds to the grim accounting of the school, where anthropologists have already found 55 graves and unearthed the remains of 51 people from the 1,400-acre campus, which sits among thick pine forest in the town of Mariana. In records, the cause of death for the boys was often listed as unknown or accident, though it is known that in a fire in 1914 killed 8 boys who had been locked in a room, others died in flu epidemics, some runaways were shot. So if you tried to run away from there, they just murdered you. Almost from the moment the school opened in the Florida State Reform School in 1900, there was a steady stream of reports of abuse, indentured servitude, crowding, and neglect. So many children, among them runaways and so-called incorrigibles, were sent to the institution that it became the largest in the country. Despite continued allegations of mistreatment and harsh conditions, the school remained open until 2011. So for 111 years, they were doing God knows what to those boys out in the middle of those woods. When the state shuttered it, advocacy group's efforts made a group of men known as the White House Boys help to reveal the horrors that took place at the school. A team of anthropologists from the University of South Florida used radar technology to search beneath the ground and discover dozens of unmarked graves. You hear that? Dozens. Dozens. The anthropology team has focused largely on Boot Hill, which during the segregation era was a documented cemetery on the African American side of campus. So you know, good Lord. The latest findings only add to the anguish for people like Jerry Cooper, who was at the school from 1960 to 1961 and is president of the White House Boys, whose name is a nod to the small cinder block building where they say they were viciously flogged for the slightest infraction. This torture chamber where boys were beaten, raped, and murdered daily was open for 111 years. That means only 8 years ago there were atrocities being committed. Florida is a horror show for black and brown people. It is time we put this state on the list of places too dangerous for black people to live or visit. It is time we put Florida on the list as the worst place in America to raise a black child. Think about it, people. And now here's some music. Enjoy. Thank you. All right, we are back, and our next story is about Donald Trump violating the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Now, Donald Trump has been violating that clause since the day he took office, but rather than having the president stop taking money from foreign leaders, the U.S. Department of Justice, namely his lackey, William Barr, decided to just change the rules, so that Trump can accept these gifts of cash as long as they run through his businesses. That actually makes things worse by letting foreign officials know exactly how to put cash in the president's pocket. So, Donald Trump is selling out America one hotel room at a time, one golf game at a time. That's basically what's going on. Foreign companies and governments are buying up hotel rooms and golf games at extravagant prices in order to bribe Trump into doing their bidding. For example, in the summer of 2017, the Trump International Hotel recently took in about $270,000 in payments tied to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as the country fights to roll back a U.S. terrorism law. They're trying to roll back U.S. terrorism laws, according to a newly filed lobbying report. Remember, Saudi Arabia has lobbyists in Washington. They're lobbying them to get rid of terrorism laws. And they're doing it by getting hotel rooms and giving them 270 Gs. Man, they're selling us out for cheap, man. This is ridiculous. Now, the spending, which covered lodging, catering, and parking expenses, was disclosed in Justice Department filings last week by MSL Group America, a public relations firm. The filings detailed the work the firm engaged in between October 1st, 2016 and March 31st, 2017 on behalf of the Saudis, Bahrain, and other foreign governments. Wow. In March of 2019, the Washington Post reported that T-Mobile spent $195,000 at Trump's Washington, D.C. hotel, which Trump still owns and profits from. He never stopped making money from his businesses. After announcing a planned $26 billion merger with Sprint that requires federal approval, T-Mobile disclosed the amount in a letter responding to Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington and Senator Elizabeth Warren. Go get him, Elizabeth. Who had inquired about a previous Post report on T-Mobile executives suddenly booking a lot of business at Trump's hotel the day after the merger was announced. So can you be any more obvious? It's just wide open. They just don't care anymore. They might as well just be standing on a corner and somebody walks up to them and hands them a bag with a dollar sign on it. On one side, and the other side says bribe. I mean, Jesus, can you be any more doggone obvious? It's ridiculous. Now, while previous reports were only able to estimate how much money the executive might have spent at the hotel, T-Mobile has now confirmed it to Congress. And of the $1.4 million that T-Mobile spent on hotels in the Washington, D.C. area over the last year, 14% was spent at Trump's hotel. And to be quite honest with you, I don't believe that. I think it's probably more. The proposed merger between T-Mobile and Sprint is valued at $26 billion. So for a $26 billion payoff, all they had to do was spend $195,000 at his hotel. Talking about a return on your investment, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, so now, if the companies combined, they would have over 127 million customers. 127 million people. If the merger is approved, it would reduce competition within the industry by reducing the number of major wireless competitors from 4 to 3, which means they'll probably get together, coordinate their pricing, and just keep it like that. Where else are you going to go? They all have the same pricing. So the $50 deal and the $40 deal is gone. Everybody's going to be like, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to charge everybody $100 a month. That's the new price. We'll work it up. We'll work up a little bit at a time. We'll go from $50 to $60. it will give you something like an extra pixel on the camera or something to try to justify it. But that's what they're doing. Those are monopolies. They get together, they merge, and they're the only game in town, and they charge whatever they want. And here we are. Now, the exchange of funds from T-Mobile to Trump highlights once again that Trump opened the door to outright bribery and other conflicts of interest when he broke from a bipartisan presidential tradition by deciding not to divest from his companies, notably the Trump Organization and his hotels. Now, see, that's the problem. All right? That is the problem right there. Conflict of interest and broke from a bipartisan presidential tradition. Why should it be a tradition for you to separate yourself from your businesses? It's like, why should it be a tradition to turn over your taxes? It should be a rule, a law. It should be a law. This honor system that they got going on in Washington is ridiculous, and Trump knows it, and he's taking advantage of it every chance he gets. Every chance, if it's not illegal, he's doing it. And to be quite honest with you, I'm kind of glad he is, because it's exposing them. It's exposing all, you know, while everybody else has to live by strict rules and strict laws, steal a candy bar, go to jail, they get to steal billions and millions, nothing happens. No rules, no regulations. They do whatever they want and keep it moving. Make $26 billion off of a deal, get caught doing something dirty, paid maybe $5, $10 million of a fine, and keep the rest. No consequences, no rules. That's why you got to love Elizabeth Warren, because she is on point. She is putting down hard rules and regulations for people on top in Congress and in the Justice Department and in the executive branch. All right, that's why you got to love Elizabeth Warren. She is on point. All right, so we're gonna do one more song, and I'm gonna come back with the Best of Us this week. And now the Best of Us this week is Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, and we will be back.
Hey, what's up now,
brother? What's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love in here today.
Oh,
picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me,
sister,
with brutality,
sister.
Talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister.
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, oh.
Right now.
Right.
Talk to me, you can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right on, right on.
All right, we are back with our final segment of the day, and it is The Best of Us. And this week, The Best of Us is Representative Ilhan Omar from Minnesota. Now, Ilhan Omar has been being attacked by the right wing, beginning with the President of the United States, saying because she said something about 9/11, saying that some people did some things that she wasn't serious enough about it. But that's a joke, because Donald Trump has been making 9/11 jokes since the day it happened. A couple of days afterwards, he's talking about how now his building, 40 Broadway, is the tallest building in that area now since the other ones fell. He went and took $150,000 from a small business fund that was set up for small businesses in the area to help them get them back on their feet. Now, he was qualified for it, but he's supposed to be such a billionaire. Why would he go and steal $150,000 from maybe a small business that could have used it? But that's Donald Trump. And like I said, this is not about being American. This is not about Ilhan Omar being a Muslim or saying something about 9/11. This is about money. This is about them distracting you at the cost of maybe Ilhan Omar's and her family's safety, distracting you from the Mueller report that's coming out Thursday, distracting you from people not getting their taxes because they're getting bills now instead of a check. He's distracting you from all of that, distracting you from the children still being jailed down in Mexico, distracting you from William Barr changing the rules or basically trying to change the Constitution to say that the president can accept unlimited money from foreign powers as long as it goes through his business. It's all a distraction. Fox News is a culprit. They're down with it. They scream, Omar, 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 and you're not paying attention to anything else. But, like I said, they don't care. This could cost her her life. This could cost one of her family members their lives. And not to mention the money he's costing, because Nancy Pelosi had to put extra security on her and her family. Because I'm going to tell you what, Nancy, you're not backing her public. Nancy Pelosi did not back her publicly. She's not standing strong. She's not condemning the president and what he said. She's not really standing by her because she's a corporate just like the Republicans. She is. And remember, when she was running to be Speaker of the House after they won the House, Donald Trump endorsed her. He said, I think she would be a great Speaker of the House. And that should tell you everything you need to know. So let me read the words of Representative Omar, what she said in regards to what is happening and how the president is doing such a disgusting thing. Now, these are her words. She said, since the president's tweet Friday evening, I have experienced an increase in direct threats on my life, many directly referencing or replying to the president's video. I thank the Capitol Police, the FBI, the House Sergeant at Arms, and the Speaker of the House for their attention to these threats. Violent crimes and other acts of hate by right-wing extremists and white nationalists are on the rise in this country and around the world. We can no longer ignore that they are being encouraged by the occupant of the highest office in the land. Counties that hosted a 2016 Trump rally saw a 226% increase in hate crimes in the months following the rally. Assaults increase when cities host Trump rallies. This is particularly concerning given the president's visit to my home state of Minnesota on Monday. Violent rhetoric and all forms of hate speech have no place in our society, much less from our country's commander-in-chief. We are all Americans. This is endangering lives. It has to stop. She is 100% correct. It has to stop. And did you hear the number, what she tweeted? She said that in the counties that hosted a 2016 Trump rally, hate crimes went up by 226%. Which means they're a virus. Donald Trump and his hate and everything is a virus that he goes through a town, people catch it and become violent. The president of the United States is a thug, a criminal, a racist, and a terrorist, period. Everybody around him either think like him or allowing him to do what he does so they can keep getting paid. So they can keep paying no taxes, making $79 billion in profit, and getting $4.3 billion in government rebates, a.k.a. welfare. Corporations are the biggest welfare queens in the history of welfare queens. They get handouts all the time, and so do the farmers in the middle of the country. They get handouts. They get subsidies. They get subsidies to not grow things. It's unbelievable. But this week, the best of us is Ilhan Omar. She's standing strong in the face of some serious threats. She's not complaining. She's doing her job. And she's staying strong. And she's not apologizing. And personally, I think the things that she said about Israel, 100% correct. The thing that she said about the congressman being entitled, or what's the word I'm looking for, being in bed with Israel, being in bed with Big Pharma, being in bed with Saudi Arabia, being in bed with China, being in bed with everybody except the American people. They've gotten so brazen that they've legalized bribery, they legalized theft, they just legalized everything that should be illegal. So Ilhan Omar, you stand tall, you stand strong, we have your back. The American people have your back. You have millions of people behind you. Stand strong. It's going to get better. All right, people, that is our show for this week. I know it was a short one, but I'm going to start doing two shows, and my next show is going to come out Friday. So instead of one long one, I'm going to do two short ones with some good music, and in a couple of weeks, I'll have another music box for you. So that is my show for this week, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank all my loyal fans and tell you to keep the emails and messages coming, and make sure you like and share. And enjoy. You guys have a great few days, and I'll see you soon.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.